Hello, see ya, Jumbo. Welcome back. My name is Mary Kane, and welcome to our 32nd episode of The World of Heritage. This podcast originally started as a study project, and now, a few months later, that project is still ongoing. We just love talking to our guests, and there's so many more people in the heritage field to talk to that we just can't seem to stop. So, how about we introduce today's guest, Niloufar? Who do we have on?
Hi, exactly, Mary. Today, our guest comes all the way from Land Down Under. Jane Linacker. Jane was born and raised in Australia, where she double majored in archaeology and ancient history at the Monash University at Clayton campus. And not long after receiving her BA, she volunteered for both the Melbourne Museum and Immigration Museum as an educational assistant for nearly 2 years. Since then, she traveled to England working at the World Rugby Museum. Currently, she is a student assistant at BTU for storytelling, for marketing, and PR. Wow. So a big welcome to Jane. Jane, that's an amazing story. We are so happy to have you here today with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
So Jane, you did a double degree for your bachelor's in archaeology and ancient history in Australia. What piqued your interest to study those topics?
Well, actually, I started my Bachelor of Arts thinking that I was going into international relations. I was studying French and international studies and, you know, I was quite politics and stuff as well. But actually, I just started taking archaeology and ancient history subjects because I was just really interested in it, passionate about it. And then it just transformed. And so in the end, I just kept on taking all the subjects, specifically in Egyptology. And after my 3 years, I then specialized in my honors year in Egyptology as well. So it just kind of happened out of sheer interest. And I kind of forgot about the other stuff.
Oh, that's fair. Though I have to ask, as someone who studied Egyptology, how do you rate the Mummy movie?
It's never particularly interested me, unfortunately. Sorry to disappoint. I know. Pretty bad, hey?
No, I felt I had to ask, just get the question out of the way.
Exactly. Get it out of the way.
So you have a lot of experience working at museums in Australia, England, and Italy. How did you lead to that path and what made you want to focus on museum work later?
After studying, it kind of just felt like a natural progression. I was obviously very young and kind of this idea of, you know, protecting the past is where it all kind of came from. Now I think a little bit differently about how that all functions, but specifically when I moved to England, that was my main goal, was to work in museums, specifically also the British Museum. They wouldn't have me because I wasn't qualified enough, but that's fine. Yeah, so then I just started volunteering at different organisations, which led to a traineeship and then full-time roles. At, of all places, the World Rugby Museum. I had no interest in rugby before that. I can't particularly say I'm still hugely interested, but the skills that I learned there were fantastic. It was so all-encompassing, so I'm very grateful to them for taking me on and really sort of helping me enter into the museum sector fully. So, yeah, it's kind of one of those things. It comes in swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that you went straight into museum work. Considering your background in archaeology, did you ever have an interest in doing archaeological excavations? The archaeologist in the room has to ask the question.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, archaeology was never particularly practical in my undergraduate degree, research archaeology. So I can talk about all sort of, you know, theoretical stuff and I can analyze remains and all that kind of stuff. But in terms of practice, it never really was pushed hugely in terms of when I was studying. And therefore, I kind of never got the experience and I've always wanted to. And I am ashamed to say to this day, I still have not been on an archaeological dig.
I think we'll have to rectify that.
I know. So I'm much more of a sort of like the historian side of things rather than the sort of practical archaeology. So yeah.
Very interesting. You started your degree at BTU during the pandemic, and now at the moment you're in the second semester at conservation management. How do you think a university has handled the quality of education during this challenging time?
It's super challenging, isn't it? But I think overall, I'm actually quite satisfied with how the teachers have managed to adapt. The level of education we're receiving, I definitely don't feel like that's been affected at all. In fact, I think all the professors need to be commended on how well they have adapted this for us. I am kind of quite sad that we haven't had the opportunities that we've previously would have been able to have. So the excursions and sort of more practical elements that I really wanted to get out of the course. But, you know, it's just one of those things. And now hopefully things might be changing. So going forward, I think those opportunities will be much more available to us.
Yeah, it's the silver lining of what we get out of all of this. But speaking of silver linings, the pandemic, it's been a challenge for everyone. But, you know, I'd like to hope that there's some good that's come out of it. So for you, what would you say has been like silver linings for you during this pandemic? Like online learning, we've had to endure for this. What do you think has been yours that's helped you get through it?
Well, actually, it's kind of not what's helped me get through it. It's the fact that I'm even here, because last year I made a decision before the pandemic that I was going to settle in the United Kingdom. And, you know, my career was going all right and, you know, things were working out okay. Brexit was looming, but, we're like, okay, just try and ride that out. My visa was finishing in the middle of last year, and when the pandemic hit, it kind of made me reassess everything. And I had been wanting to study heritage conservation and site management for many, many years, but the practicalities of moving to Germany, especially, you know, not just thinking about me, but also my husband has to come along as well. So, you know, it kind of had put me off actually finally committing to it. So in the end, weighed everything up and decided that's it. We're going to move here to Coppice and I'm going to study. And so ultimately, having the opportunity to be here and study this degree, I am just feeling like I'm just so grateful and so thrilled to have this opportunity. So that's it. Like, it just changed my whole life and everything that we were planning on doing for the next 5 years. So I'm really happy about that in the end.
So it was a very life-changing decision during this time. Thank you so much, Jane, for all your answers. So we are going to take a short break and we'll come back soon. Stay tuned.
So welcome back to part two. So living in different countries and different continents, what is or was your favorite country to live in and why?
I don't know if I have a favorite country to live in, because every country has its own challenges and amazing experience. But overall, the best experience I've had was living in Sicily for a year. That was just phenomenal. It was kind of also another life-changing experience, because I'd just been offered a job at the Victoria and Albert Museum, and my husband got offered this job in Sicily where we could both go and work at this historic estate in the gardens and, you know, working with the visitors as well. And in the end, I was like, okay, no brainer. I get to go live in Italy for a year and experience, you know, a completely different culture. Moving from Australia to England is kind of, you know, not the biggest change. Yeah, so we were located bang in the centre of Sicily, middle of nowhere. We lived in a town with about 3,000 residents and mostly kind of in their later stages of life. They spoke local dialect. Everybody knew what was going on. We didn't have to introduce ourselves in the town, like everybody knew us. And then we, you know, we drive this beat up old panda to work on the very typical sort of dodgy Italian roads. And then we worked in this beautiful garden. It's on a wine estate now, so they make excellent wine. And we had quite a bit of that as well. But I got to work outside for a year, which was actually just beautiful. Like, I loved being outside and not in an office anymore. Yeah, ultimately, I was just so grateful for the opportunity that they gave us for taking us on board for this year. And yeah, it was also very life-changing in terms of my outlook and what I wanted to do in life as well. So
sounded very dreamy. You explained us you wanted to follow studying heritage management and conservation management for many years. How did you find about this master program at the BTU? And was it your first choice between other choice of management, conservation management?
Yeah, so I think maybe it was about 2014. So very much in the early stages of when heritage conservation site management had the program had started, and I was ready for a life change and to do something else. And I was just Googling on the internet, you know, what options are available. And then this came up and I was like, all right, okay, this is what I want to do ultimately. And so although museums very much interest me, the idea of working with sites was much more bigger picture, but I had to find a way to sort of gain the experience and knowledge. And so the plan was to come to Germany then, 2015. But in the meantime, my husband got offered a job at the Royal Botanic Gardens in Kew in London. And that seemed like a better option for us at that time. So then I guess kind of been putting it on hold until now.
Yeah, I guess it just felt like the right timing then to move to Germany. Speaking of moving, when were you actually able to move to Cottbus, and what were your biggest challenges moving? Because you moved during the pandemic, so that's, as someone who moved like at the start of it, it's pretty challenging. So I'm curious how you did it from moving from England to Germany, especially also with Brexit. You had two double whammies.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, it was quite an interesting experience. Thankfully, it was summer last year that we moved over here to Cottbus, and I would say that the transition then was actually all right because things here were okay. But yeah, it was kind of challenging to organise from afar, but I managed to organise an apartment in advance and things like that. So kind of, it wasn't too much of a challenge in the end. Except for obviously once you get here, all the bureaucracy. But anyway, so it was fine. And then we had a couple of months of sort of settling in over the summer when things were semi-normal and stuff. So, and then, you know, things panned out the way they did.
So you moved in summer 2020 and to Cottbus. Mm-hmm. How have you found life in Cottbus? Is there an aspect about the city you love, or do you have a favorite must-see place to visit?
I actually really like living in Cottbus. A lot of people sort of complain that it might be a bit boring, but actually for me, especially whilst we're studying, you know, trying to focus on all the academic stuff, it's actually quite good for me now. I have been here a year though, so if it was 2 years, maybe I might be saying something different, but I actually think it's really, I don't know, it's quite cute on the old town sort of section with the Altmarks, and you know, I live very close to there, and then a couple of minutes walk away we've got the Spree, so I get to go for a walk and every day in the park and along the river, and actually all the greenery is what I really like. It is just such, I don't know, it's just such a nice environment, especially during lockdown. At least you had somewhere nice to go, whereas the first lockdown in London was a very different experience. So actually the here in Cottbus has been, yeah, quite nice. Favorite places, I'm not quite sure. I like to go to Brannett's. Otherwise I don't know where all the cool parts are yet.
Brannett's Park is always the best spot to go to. Yeah. Really nice, especially during the lockdowns. But pandemic aside, Have you been able, like in the year you've been on the continent, have you been able to travel around at all?
Sadly, no. No. I've been a very good girl, sticking by the rules. I've been to stay in Berlin and, you know, explore Berlin a bit. But other than that, no, which is really sad because obviously that's such a big perk of being here. So we'll see. Like, I'm hoping this summer I might get some more opportunities to see a bit more as well, you know, spend more time in, say, more in Germany, probably more than anything. And then I've got 2 weeks that I'll be in Weimar with the European Heritage Volunteers Project in September as well. So that's good to look forward to. And then I go to Egypt actually in October. So yeah, I'll probably do a bit of traveling then.
Oh, that'll be so much fun. Enjoy Egypt, definitely.
Thank you.
So you lived in different countries. What was the biggest shock living in Germany compared to Australia or your earlier experience?
I kind of don't feel like it was a super massive shock in a lot of ways. Probably the most shocking thing for me was my ignorance of how difficult it would be to learn German. I had I've learned French at school and, you know, lived in Italy and spent a semester abroad in Mexico. So I kind of adapted to, you know, sort of basic language skills in these, you know, Romance languages. And then coming here as a native English speaker, everybody told me it's fine, it'll be easy. That's probably been the biggest shock, is just actually coming to terms with not being able to communicate as easily as I thought I would be able to. And then therefore doing all the bureaucratic work as well, therefore just becomes a bit more challenging. But overall, I mean, Germany is a pretty cool place to live. So there's not too many shocks or anything.
Except for the bureaucracy. That's the biggest shock.
Well, yeah. But to be fair, there's a lot of bureaucracy everywhere. And yeah. At least it's cheap. Cheap bureaucracy, like it doesn't cost you too much as opposed to England.
Oh yes, I've heard tales of the English bureaucracy. Cheers for that, Jane, and we'll be right back after this break with our final set of questions, so stay tuned.
Welcome back with the part three of our questions with Jane. So Jane, even with the pandemic, how did you like the master at BTU? Do you have a favorite class or a study project in the last two semesters?
I think I probably do actually. For the first semester, I really enjoyed the tourism class. I felt like it was just so all-encompassing and really, I had never thought about tourism and heritage in a more theoretical sort of way. We also studied tourism in regards to human rights, and I thought that that was actually a very useful exercise, and the case studies offered were very interesting. So that was probably my sort of engaging and eye-opening class as well in the first semester. And then I've really loved this semester heritage legislation, which sounds a bit nerdy, I don't know, but it's just filling that knowledge gap that I knew that I had, I wanted to fill with this degree. And it's so good to have not only just a focus on the World Heritage Convention, but also a variety of different conventions that we're looking at. So learning that not just by reading the documents, but by having them explained and kind of looking at different things I wouldn't necessarily have thought would be sort of little interesting parts of the documents was really useful and hopefully very interesting and useful for my future career, whatever it may be.
Heritage legislation was one of the fun classes, but I do know now, because you are the research assistant for Simona von Eib and Roland Bernecker for storytelling, marketing and PR. How do you find working as an assistant for them? Like, how has that been as an experience?
That's been actually such a great experience. I've really enjoyed it, especially this class. It's been kind of a mixture of support, but also, you know, I get to do a lot of creative things, looking at the activities we can present in class and things like that. So yeah, it's great actually. And also just getting a bit more of an understanding of, you know, how the university works sort of behind the scenes rather than from just a student point of view has been quite interesting to see, you know, the practicalities and how hard everybody's working, like the poor teachers, I mean, honestly, they work so hard for us. So that's been really cool to see that process as well, how they put things together for us. But yeah, it's been great. I definitely recommend anybody, you know, for any positions that do come up, I recommend having a go at it.
Yeah, definitely would recommend that class. That has been one of the highlights this semester.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Jane, have you started thinking about what topic you want to work on for your thesis studies, or you're waiting to go to Egypt to get another perspective?
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't started even thinking about it. I'm kind of trying to give myself this first part of the degree to try and absorb as much as possible and figure out my sort of direction going forward. Yeah, so I haven't really defined anything. I mean, I'm interested in site management and interpretation and tourism and things like that. But in terms of how I'll progress, I'm not 100% sure.
Now, that's understandable. Just taking your time with it, that's not a bad thing. It's just letting it marinate for a while. But once the thesis is complete, and it will be complete, what are you thinking you'd like to do after graduation? You said that you were interested in site management, so would you want to take that as a direction, maybe look at sites in Germany or elsewhere?
Yeah, I think that's what I came in to this degree thinking would be the way I'd go forward. And quite possibly, I think that would be the natural progression for me. But in saying that, I'm very open to lots of different things. I don't think I'd be interested in going straight into a PhD or anything like that. Maybe later on in life. But I really do want to get some practical skills and experience. And yeah, we'll see how that all goes.
We wish you all the best for it.
And hopefully you will get to Egypt and you will also experience all this excavation work.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. And for our final question, what is your favorite World Heritage site?
That's a really tough question. I think my favorite World Heritage site would probably be Ancient Thebes and its necropolis in Egypt, so modern day Luxor. I was lucky enough to go there in 2019. It doesn't matter how much you read in a book, how many images you see, how much context you have, nothing compares to actually going to these sites and seeing them in person and just, I don't know, being amazed at everything that's been achieved since, you know, these amazing sites were built. And I think specifically Valley of the Kings was kind of the thing that just drove me insane in a most amazing way, actually. And going into those tombs, which, yeah, it's a bit, I don't know, I feel a little bit dodgy going into tombs actually, but had to be done in this instance. Seeing the ancient graffiti as well, there's graffiti on those walls from thousands of years ago, and just seeing all those different layers and kind of puts everything into context and kind of shows how insignificant I am or we are as people in the greater scheme of things, which I actually kind of really like that, because you can kind of step back a bit and just wonder at these amazing sites. So
okay, that's very existential, but I love it.
Yeah, I'm a little bit like that.
We're in the field of heritage, that's bound to happen. Thank you so much, Jane, for taking the time to share your story with us today, and we hope you've had fun with this. It's we hope you have a great semester as well. It was great having you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was lovely chatting with you both.
And thanks to all our listeners for supporting the podcast along the way. We've had such a pleasure to see our classmates and get to know them more, and we're excited to share with you all of their stories.
Be sure to check out next week's 33rd episode. We got another surprise in the store, so stay tuned.
Interested in sharing your thoughts and stories? Feel free to contact us. You can reach us on Instagram, The World of Heritage, or by email. Thanks again for tuning in. Ciao, arrivederci, schlan, and goodbye.